The story of Mert and Marner. Myrtle Spear was a very tired girl when we left her at 5 o'clock this morning. She had told Jack Arnold part of the story of what happened to her at Duke Sandfield's gambling establishment, where she had been held prisoner. Meanwhile, Fred Hansen, press agent for Hayfield's Pleasures, concocted a story that might lead the papers to believe it was all just a publicity stunt. Also, Mert seems to have an airtight alibi that would clear her of any suspicion of the murder of Harry Duffy, the Chicago racketeer who took her to Sandfield's place. She promised to tell Jack Arnold the rest of her story when she awakened. We'll listen in just a moment when we hear today's episode of The Story of Mert and Marge. It's early the next afternoon. Margie has taken her little dog, Jackie, out for an airing. And Mert has just admitted Jack Arnold, who has come to hear the rest of her story.
Are those the afternoon papers, Jack?
Mm-hmm, Myrtle. Would you like to hear what happened to one Myrtle Spear, according to Fred Hansen, publicity man for Hayfield's Pleasure?
Yes, Jack, I'm dying to hear it.
Well, it says here, Fred Hansen, Hayfield's publicity manager, says he's been taken for Van Johnson, Walter Winchell, Charlie Chaplin, and Lippy DeRocher, but never for or by a Chicago racketeer.
Yeah, go on.
The mysterious disappearance of Myrtle Spear, Hayfield Chick Chick, has been solved by Hansen, who says he himself in person called for Miss Spear on the afternoon of her fade-out and took her to Forest Hills to see Mrs. Hansen and the kids.
Oh.
Miss Spear remained for dinner. After dinner, Myrtle became quite ill and was put to bed by Mrs. Hansen, where she remained for the night. That story certainly should discourage any of Mr. and Mrs. Hansen's friends who occasionally dine with them.
Oh, gee, that sounds awfully dumb. Do you suppose anybody will believe it?
Well, if they don't believe that, Fred will tell them another.
Well, Jack, what does the paper say about Harry Duffy's murder?
Well, the killing of Harry Duffy, brother of Spike Duffy, the notorious Chicago racketeer, will probably go down as one of those unsolved gangland mysteries. Someone has double-crossed someone else, and someone will probably pay for Duffy's murder if and when they're caught. Spike Duffy is here in New York to take the body of his brother to Chicago for burial.
Do you think the police will just let the matter drop?
No, the police may drop it, at least for a while, but bear this in mind, Myrtle. Spike Duffy won't. He'll come back here to avenge his brother's death.
Oh, Jack, do you suppose I'll be brought into it anyway?
Well, I'll do everything in my power to keep your name out of it, Myrtle.
I'll bet if I ever get out of this mess, I'll keep my nose out of other people's business.
Well, let's see. Last night, or rather early this morning, you got as far in your story as going to bed and dreaming of Red Riding Hood and the wolves.
Yeah, it was more like a nightmare. Well, let's see, where was I? When I woke up in that place that morning, it took me some time to realize where I was. Guess I shed a few tears, Jack.
Natural.
A little while, there was a knock on the door. Then the key turned, and it was Sandfield and the waiter Felix with my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
The waiter put the tray on the table, and then he left. Sandfield locked the door behind him. Getting to be a regular routine.
Well, what was Sandfield's general attitude, Myrtle?
Well, he seemed surprised not to find me in tears. He asked me how I slept. I told him fine, which was a darn lie, but I wouldn't let him know it. And he seemed surprised at my appetite for breakfast. I cleaned up the works, and what works? He certainly is a wonderful chef.
Well, weren't you frightened at all, Myrtle?
Well, my woman's intuition told me he had no intentions of harming me, and if I kept my head, I'd be all right.
Well, after all, you had said nothing to him that would incriminate Duffy, yourself, or me. Well, how about Jimmy?
Well, I'm coming to that. I found out from Sandfield that up to breakfast time, they hadn't located Jimmy. And then he told me that if I didn't object, I could just make myself comfortable until Jimmy was found.
And this was the following morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you where Jimmy was. After we searched Duffy's room that night after the show, I took Jimmy to my apartment, and he was there all day yesterday until about 6 o'clock.
Oh.
My man said he went out at that time. He was out looking for him now, mm-hmm. So... go on with your story.
Well, Sandfield left the morning papers with me, excused himself, and said he'd be back later, and locked me in.
Well, then what happened?
Nothing.
Well, how did you spend the day?
Well, I read every page of the morning papers, even the death notices. kind of expected to head the list, but nothing about Myrtle Spear.
Well, your disappearance wasn't announced until afternoon.
Then I found a deck of cards and played several kinds of solitaire. Turned on the radio and took a shower to some very good music. Say, Jack, there must be a lady or ladies in Mr. Sandfield's life because I found everything I needed in toilet articles.
Really?
Even found some beautiful lounging pajamas hanging in the closet, and I put them on.
It's just like it. Well, then what?
Well, I read all the magazines, played some more solitaire, tried all the chairs, and rearranged the furniture, and then...
Then the key turned in the lock, and in came lunch.
Yeah, you said it.
Did you eat it?
No, by that time I bit my fingernails up to the elbow.
Well, now, after lunch, what happened?
Nothing. More radio, more solitaire. Oh, I did some heavy thinking. Then I took a nap. When I woke up, the room was very dark, and I realized it was getting late in the afternoon. I changed from the lounging pajamas to my street clothes and waited for something dreadful to happen. Hoped it would.
Kind of bored by that time, huh?
Rather.
Well, did anything happen?
Well, in about an hour, the Duke came in the room and told me I could leave if I wanted to. That Harry Duffy would escort me to the theater, that I'd been a very well-behaved guest, that he admired me and hoped he would see me again. In fact, he said he'd make it a point of seeing me again under different circumstances.
Yeah.
He also said, "You will see by the afternoon papers that you're quite an important young lady, Miss Spear. You're in the headlines."
Well, that was probably what frightened him into releasing you.
Well, I started to leave, and he said, "Before you leave this room, Miss Spear, let me warn you. Stay out of this racket. Stay away from Harry Duffy. Don't ever see him again after tonight. You've no interest in him. Disregard his proposition. Never speak of it to anyone. Don't tell anyone where you've been for the past 30 hours.
What did you say, Myrtle?
Well, I asked him why he was letting Harry Duffy take me back, and he said, "Harry knows why. You do as you're instructed." I said to him, "Well, what'll happen to me if I didn't follow instructions, Mr. Sandfield?"
What did he say?
He said, "Miss Spear, I work for someone else. I wouldn't harm a nice girl like you, but I can't control the wolves." I asked him if he meant someone might kill me.
Oh. Well, what did he say to that?
Well, he bowed and kissed my hand and said, "I've enjoyed meeting you, Miss Spear, and have great hopes of seeing you again." Then he escorted me down the stairs to the back entrance of the house where Duffy was waiting for me in a cab.
Well, what did Duffy say to you? Did you come immediately to the theater?
Oh, one question at a time, Jack. Duffy was as silent as a sphinx all the way to the theater. He seemed very nervous and jittery. All he said was that he hoped no one was worried about me while I was gone. I tried to question him, but I guess he'd had plenty of instructions because he said nothing.
I see. And you came right to the theater?
Yes. Harry Duffy helped me out of the cab and brought me right to the stage entrance. I said goodbye to him and said I'd be seeing him.
Well, now, did Duffy get back into the cab?
No. I heard him dismiss the cab, and then he walked west toward 8th Avenue.
Yes, and that was his last walk. Myrtle, would you recognize that cab driver if you saw him again?
Oh, yes. It was the same driver that picked us up that afternoon. The same one who took us to Murray's that night.
I see. Well, you've got your alibi all set, Myrtle. You came into the theater at 7:15. Duffy was killed at 7:45, several blocks from the theater. Pat saw you come in. You were made up and ready to go on the stage when the girls got to the theater. Well, so much for that.
And I was warned not to tell anyone about it. And here, I've told it all to you, Jack.
And probably not any too soon. Well, I've got to leave right away, Myrtle. I've got plenty of work to do. So,
oh, that's Margie. I'll let her in.
All right.
Hi, dear.
Hello, Harry. I was so long.
Hello, Margie.
Oh, hello, Mr. Arnold. Will you look at Jackie? He's been in a fight.
Hello, fella.
Say, Murray, you know that nasty little old Pomeranian that lives on the second floor?
Yeah, I know the beef.
Well, he came snapping and biting at Jackie out in the street, and Jackie just wouldn't stand for it any longer.
Myrtle, I'm afraid Jackie just about chewed that palm's ears off.
That's good. They were too long anyway.
I'd love to hear the rest of this, Margie, but I've just got to go.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Arnold.
No, Myrtle, whatever you do, don't talk to anyone and don't let anyone in this apartment. Yeah. I'll call you later. Goodbye, Margie. Goodbye, Myrtle. See you later.
Bye. Oh, it's too bad he had to leave so soon. Did you tell him all about where you were, Myrtle? I'm so anxious to hear all about it. Come on, let's sit down and talk it over. You know, you haven't ever told me anything about it, Myrtle.
Margie, will you please understand, dear, when I say that I can't tell you anything about it, that I must not discuss it with anybody, not even you?
Well, you told Mr. Arnold all about it, Myrtle.
But he's assistant to district attorney, dear. I had to tell him. You heard what he said when he went out. Oh, you do understand, don't you, Margie?
Well, all right, Myrtle. As long as you're back safely and you're all right, that's all that matters anyway.
Oh. Jack said not to let anybody in. Who is it?
Let me in, Merce. Let me in, quick.
Oh, it's Jimmy.
Shut the door. Quick. Is Jack Arnold here?
Well, he just left here. Didn't you see him get out of the elevator?
No, I walked up. Listen, Marge, I gotta have that $100 right now, this minute.
Well, I haven't any money, Jimmy.
You've got it, Merce. Come on, give it to me, quick. I've only got a couple of minutes. Come on, Merce, hurry. Hurry before it's too late.
Jimmy Minter is obviously terrified. And from what we know of his activities, there can only be one reason. The gangsters have him on the spot again. Is he connected with the Duffy killing? Will his appearance at the girls' apartment bring danger to them? There seems to be plenty of action brewing for the next episode in our fast-moving story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.